A 3 a.m. marriage proposal. Fam almost saves a life. And is Judd Waltrip a part of the Get Out franchise? We'll dive in later.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome, welcome to the after show of Becoming a God in Central Florida. I am so excited to be here. It is nice to be back talking about this show because it is crazy.
It is.
So we're talking all things Paradise K. We're talking Obi Garbo's mental state and the soon-to-be kingpin, Ernie. We can all agree on that, I'm sure. We'll get into more of that later. We also have some great news, a special segment of an Amway inspirational rally, which I am so stoked to listen to, you guys. And, of course, the much-anticipated predictions. But before we get into everything, my name is Tatiana, and we are still missing Jackie. Jackie, we miss you. She's miss making you. Money moves, y'all, so don't even worry about her. She'll be back on Sunday. And we also have Tara. Hi.
Hi, guys. It's me, Tara. I'm back. Thanks so much.
I am so excited to talk about these two episodes because I feel like they are the meatiest episodes that have happened thus far. Minus, the whole, of course, like the killing of the crocodile and her husband dying. minus dead people. I feel like these are the craziest
minus
ones.
Minus Cody going down on her and being slapped around first. Yeah. Minus those.
No, that's totally
these
normal.
These are deep.
Yes, these are deep. So what was your first initial reaction to these two episodes? It's a lot, guys. You can all agree with me that these are crazy episodes.
Yes, they're insane. I was glad that my prediction about Crystal and Cody doing the nasty came true. Just diving into this like rally or event that kind of happens between 5 and 6, a lot of it gave me the creeps. I think especially just like I just wrote down this one line that Obi Garbo in his tape said, "When I wake up in whatever home I lay down in," and I'm like, "Whatever home you lay down in, what are we doing here?" And then it opens up the world to that his world ain't good either.
His world is bananas.
It's bonkers. Bananas. It's like, basically what he does is like, if I were to sit here with you and we would talk a lot and then I would go insane and then be like, I'm going to go in the closet and make a tape. That's like what he does.
Yeah, and then some. He also smashes up some fruit and, you know, but we'll talk about that.
Yes.
I really want to start by focusing on Paradise K because that was the bulk of episode 5. And I'm going to kind of smash them together, but the bulk of Paradise K was episode 5. And it was so crazy, and I feel like we really get to look into this scam in Obi Garbo. And also, I just want to start off by saying that Judd Waltrip was there, and he said he lost his wife. Do you think that his wife was the MC for the entire event? Because that was the first thing that came to my mind.
Oh.
Yeah, and I wanted to say that first so I didn't forget.
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't forget because his smile was creepy AF is what I wrote down. That was the thing that was in my brain, just burned in there.
That's why I say, is he part of the Get Out franchise? Because he had this super weird look on his face, and he was like, don't talk to me right now, you know, and like running away somewhere into the forest.
Right. I don't know. I was thinking that maybe Fam got him back, and he was like, I'll just play it up like I'm back to get my wife back. But maybe his wife was the MC.
I mean, that's immediately when I saw that woman, I thought, oh, that must be his wife. So let us know what you think, because that was my first initial reaction. We also get into Cody and, sorry, I think of him, he's like a little boy.
Oh,
you
Cody.
Know, he's just like, he's like a little boy. Cody has it for Crystal, like bad.
Yes.
And they have to share a room together. And I wrote down one line that he says, he's getting the key for the room, and he looks back at Crystal and he says, she's my lady partner. Can you believe that? Like, he is in awe of her. So he's fallen
super
head over heels.
Listen, any guy who runs around a hotel room says, I don't want to give you crud. I want to make you happy. I'll do anything. And then throws her head into a toilet and then comes back up and is like, does this work? And then puts it back in and flushes. He's dedicated.
Yes.
He was probably in love with you.
Yes. So we all, we know he's hands in.
Yes.
Like all hands on. Feet, toes, knees, elbows.
It. Take me all.
Everything is all there for Crystal. And yeah. she is not, right? I feel like she had a moment when they were getting ready to go to the ball where she had, she felt a little sympathy or some, dare I say, love for him. But then it just, it was just a glimpse. And I don't think, obviously, she said she doesn't love him.
Yeah, that was a sad moment because there are little glimpses in between with them. But then you realize when she says, like, but I don't like you. It's because, yeah, he started off the relationship being kind of a butthead. And you're like, oh, can't stand Cody. But then he does all these really sweet things for Crystal and he's all in. And Crystal needs to get out of this bind. And he's kind of her safety rope. And he can really help her get out of it. But he's still kind of annoying. So there's that.
I don't find him annoying. I mean, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't want to date him, but yeah. I didn't find him annoying because like he's just so hopelessly in love with Crystal. And I just wish that she would return the same thing, you know. And they go, and they're the only two people that aren't married. Everybody else is married. Mm-hmm. And they run into Carol and Carol again, who we find out are completely in debt.
Yep.
Completely. In fact, they're taking out a second mortgage on their house.
Yep.
So they have nothing, nothing, nothing.
Nothing.
Which makes me wonder if anybody there had anything.
Or if they're only going to wear that same tracksuit for the rest of their lives. Seriously. Because they won't be able to buy a new one.
Seriously, though. And we also find out that Carol, man Carol, mm-hmm. not girl Carol, man Carol, actually had his own dentist practice. And he was already working for himself and making a substantial amount of money and threw it all away.
Yeah. And it was sad because everyone who I think starts with fam and they get to the end, they all come back and go, I was happy. And then at the end of fam, they are destroyed. And it's really sad. And these are all these people who are saying that they were happy, who are at like the top of fam. So all these people climbing up from a pyramid scheme have no idea what's waiting for them. And it's very, very sad.
It's very sad. Even Obi himself. Who we find out is his marriage is horrible. His health is horrible, which I still did not understand the burning of the Hot Pocket and eating it as fast as he can
mm-hmm.
while it was like steaming hot.
Yeah.
Didn't understand that. Did you? Do you have any insight into that? Because I was like, what? I didn't.
I felt like the one moment of the steam coming out of the toaster oven was like really to nail it in that like the struggle is real with him, even though he's walking around being like, I'm the top of fam and I have lots of money. Why do you have such a crappy toaster oven that's like half broken? But then maybe it wasn't broken. Maybe it was just hot, steam coming off of a Hot Pocket. I feel like it was a weird thing that he would really like to come close to death. I feel like he likes that. That's the only thing that maybe gives him an adrenaline rush now. Because they said, if you don't get a pacemaker, then you're going to die. And he was like, I'll take that chance. I think he's just so unhappy and life is so crappy that he's willing to either ruin his life and everyone else's around him. Unless he can get to, like, that top spot that he wants to be at, which is kind of unattainable with fam as where he's at right now.
Totally. Totally. I also think Obi, what did you think of his, I think it's when he blacked out, when his heart skipped a beat, because we find out he has arrhythmia mm-hmm. and crazy anxiety. And I think he thinks his wife is cheating on him. He's not pleasing his wife enough, and he's not going to be the owner of fam anymore. I mean, they're all... He has a ton of self-doubt, so I feel like those tapes are more for himself. But then, but when he blacks out, he mm-hmm. goes into this crazy dream, and we can't help but talk about this dream mm-hmm. because he sees himself talking to himself with regurgitating these tapes that he's saying. And then he takes a knife and he stabs his tummy open, and all of this fruit just like continues to fall out.
Mm-hmm.
It's so weird. It's so weird.
He doesn't like fruit. It's really just, I think the writer was like, what doesn't he like? Fruit. That's what we're going to put in this episode is fruit. It's his demon. But I still don't understand like the metaphor to fruit, right? It's like he doesn't want fruit, but I think it's just linked to like he wants to push his life and his health and everything around him to the limit. He doesn't like to live like well. I think he just wants to live on the borderline, I don't know how you'd say it. I found that dream very weird, too, and I was really trying hard to make a connection to, like, the fruit coming out and then also hitting it with a bat. He's mad at the fruit. So who does the fruit, what does a fruit represent? And obviously there's a loss there of maybe his life just not being where it is, but I don't know where the fruit comes in.
I hope we get to see in the episodes coming up kind of like more of a backstory of him, because I'm sure the fruit will have a big part to play. But I think he really believes that he is God.
Mm-hmm.
Truly believes that he is God, because where that came extremely apparent, like without a shadow of a doubt, mm-hmm. is when Cody caught the pelican. He wrestled with the pelican, killed it with his bare hands,
yep.
and like brought it back on his knees to Obi.
Mm-hmm.
And Obi was like, my son.
Yeah.
What?
Because that's what you
with the
did,
church
olden
music
days
in
the
background.
Like, yeah. He made a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that was creepy to me. And then he was like, I don't need a helicopter. I'm not going to get a pacemaker. I truly think that he believes that he is God.
Mm-hmm. And can, like, heal himself.
Yeah.
Make everything right. But we soon realize in the later part of the episode that the struggle is real.
The struggle is real, yeah. He's no good.
It's bad.
But they still have this kind of sense of family
mm-hmm.
there. It's just, like, a really messed up family.
I agree. I think there was one moment in the rally where Obi Garbo is saying, like, he's talking about a pelican, and they all have these, like, speeches where they're talking about something else and it really means this. He talks about, and then she attacks, and everybody in the audience jumps except for Crystal. And you even see Cody, and I thought it was a really cool edit, meaning, like, everyone's like, and Crystal's like, okay. And I'm like, yeah, she's the only one that can take any of them out of this, because she's the only one. They're building up her character, I think, in really slight ways that I really do truly enjoy, that she's the one that's able to take big, bold risks and is also not, she's not feeding into it. Like, she's not totally into it yet, and her not jumping and being scared of it. You're like, Crystal Stubbs is going to be the only one that can get them out of it. And I know she's in it now, but she's going to find her way out.
I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I hope so. We also jump, now this is where I said I'm going to mesh in episode 6 as well, because I just want to stay on Cody and Crystal for a second, because their relationship is so interesting, the way it's evolving. Towards the end of the gala, she sees him as more of kind of a man, because now he has this air. Cody's been bumped to security guard, part of the security detail, and they give him a gold gun, right? And so he walks with so much more confidence, and he's so much more manly. And now they're like an actual couple, and he proposes to her for real this time, and, you know, she marries him. But
she doesn't marry him. She wears his ring.
That's right. Excuse me. Yeah, she wears his ring. But then they almost kind of break up in a sense towards the end, because he tells her, look, I don't make money. No one makes money off of fan products. Nobody does. I actually get paid from Obi himself, from what they make from the rallies and all the tapes. The tapes that you're required to buy, and these rallies that you're required to attend, they're like probably like upwards of $300, $400, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least that's what they are now in real life. Like,
yeah.
Money. So that's how he gets paid now. And he's like, this is the only way that you can make it in fam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found it very interesting in coming to terms with Crystal in the beginning of, she had to kill her own dog. She wanted her dog to die in a nice way. She doesn't have any money. Her mom and her dad are like, take care of it, and very hands off. So Crystal's already known how to come up on her own and take things, just take care of it herself. And I found that it was really sad, but there was a really odd cut in that edit of when the vet says, things like that cost money, hon, meaning to put the dog down in the nice way. And it cuts to a big, huge diamond ring. And I was wondering, why is there a close-up on that in the beginning? And then we get to see it in regards to her relationship with Cody, and Cody gives her this huge, gigantic diamond ring, and she says, you want me to wear your ring, you need to show me that you're worth it. And it takes a second, and he does do that by being like, we're going to go to a thing with the vice president.
Mm-hmm.
She loses her mind thinking mm-hmm. the vice president, maybe all this can be working. But then we do realize through that she's hit with all of the true information at the end, which is like, oh boy, like this is hard. Not only is Cody's money from that is from his mom,
who's a politician,
yeah,
some kind of politician, and thinks that what he does is a complete joke, which makes me wonder if his dad, jumping back a couple episodes, if his dad did some kind of like money laundering or something like that, and that's why his dad is in jail and won't see him. But basically, we see that his whole family basically thinks he's a flop.
Yeah, her mom called him a feckless tit.
Yeah.
So just yeah. So you know how they feel about each other, that happened. And God, man, we found out so much information in six. It really brought, I think, together five that you needed. I would feel angry after five and not being able to watch six right away because these two episodes really meshed together to give you a really great standalone 2 hours of entertainment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Talking about entertainment, would you tell us a little bit more about AfterBuzz?
I will, you guys. We are the ESPN of TV Talk. We cover all the shows that you want us to cover. Make sure, guys, that you comment, like, and subscribe. Join us in the chat. I do try to check it even while we're here. And then if you can't join in on the live chat, make sure that you comment. And if you can't catch a show and watch us on YouTube, you know we're on iTunes. Subscribe, like, send us all the love. I love being here at AfterBuzz because I'm here with the TV fam, TV and movie fam, that watch as much TV and movies that I do and make me feel not guilty. It's a great family to be a part of. Thank you guys so much for watching. Keep loving, supporting us. I send you hugs, love, and laughter.
Awesome. That was great. Thank you very much for that. I love AfterBuzz as well. So this is really exciting and fun. So now I want to talk about Ernie.
Yeah.
I think that Ernie is becoming... Yay, Ernie! He's totally becoming a kingpin.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the energy has shifted from thinking that Crystal is going to be the one to kind of either rule or take out Fam to Ernie.
Mm-hmm.
Ernie it has risen. His character has risen from being, you know, this really timid, you know, doesn't want to stand up to anybody, afraid to yell at anybody, you know, kind of a person. And now he's become, you know, he yelled at Crystal. The last time that he yelled at Crystal, he apologized. Oh, I'm so sorry. He apologized for it. I didn't mean to. And he didn't even get to finish yelling. This time he cut her off mid-sentence, straight up pointed in her face and was like, no, not you. So he is die hard.
Yep.
And a lot of that had to do with what we see when he goes to, I believe it was like an Italian or like a pizza restaurant.
Yes.
With one of his downline people. And they run into this guy with a shotgun who is basically going to, you know, is robbing everybody or going to hurt somebody or shoot somebody. And he starts giving him the fam tagline, like giving him the, hey, you know what, buddy, I've been there. He even makes himself cry. I thought this was a low for Ernie.
I thought that this moment, I agree with you, but I also thought that this moment was the real Ernie colliding with fam Ernie, because he said, listen, man, I know that at this point you feel like nobody loves you. And I really believed him because Ernie is just the guy who does gloomy zoomies. And he's like, if you're not helping anybody, then you're not doing what's right in the world. And I feel like that's the real Ernie that he's saying, but I love you, buddy. Like, you know, trust me in that. But then he moves to being like, you can be your own boss, you know, and you're just like, oh, it's fam and real Ernie colliding together and trying to, oh, these two worlds collide in this very gruesome setting that you're like, the outcome of it, of brains being blown all over his face, is like, that's you getting closer to fam. Like, that is, this is what fam is doing.
Right.
And it had nothing to do with fam. It's just within this show, they give you that to show you, like, is going to get bad for you, Ernie, and the waters will be turbulent.
Yes. Yeah. I think he was trying to, because he still believes fam is like a great thing, you know, really. And from going into Obi's mindset and seeing the kind of person that Obi is who created fam, we know that it's a completely negative, like totally, dare I say, demonic.
Oh, no, agreed. 110%.
Okay. So it's a total demonic thing. So that we have Ernie. And we give him this, and all he sees is what he tells Crystal is, I see hope. I'm giving people hope. Because that's what he saw in this man's eyes before the other dude shot him his head off. And so I just, you know, he believes that he's giving fam hope. Hey, if you need money, fam's got you. And this is the family that I needed to be a part of. And then he quits his job. So he's just like completely in. But the worst part of it is that you have fam that was made for the native and you put it in the hands of somebody who is trying to use it for good and is so gung-ho. You now have a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
This I agree.
He's a weapon now.
I wrote down S-H-I-T, Ernie dove deep. That's what I wrote down, and that is the truth, and he is getting so deep that, yeah, it's totally terrifying, and I do think that he dove too deep, and he's changing, and it's sad because he goes, this was the thing that gave me hope. But if you remember, even from the pilot in episode two, Ernie's thing of not joining fam was like, I'm happy where I'm at. And then he lost his friend. And I think that had a lot to do with like gloomy zoomies, not necessarily to do with wife or kid. I think he had always just said, but I'm happy. Like things are good. You know, like I don't need anything. I have all that I have. And then his whole world does a 180 and he's just like, fam is what he needs now. And it's, oh, it's not going to be good.
It sucks too, because I feel like, you know, Crystal should have been honest with him in the beginning. Even though she didn't know quite the depth of fam, she knew it wasn't a good thing. She's not making money. The people above her aren't making money. So, you know, I don't know why she thought Ernie would make money trying to do fam. So I feel like it's a really honest moment for Crystal to come to him and say, look, it's like you're really not going to make money at all.
Yeah, I feel like she didn't know how bad it was until we get to the end of episode six where she realizes, because she was really taken aback of like, what? Meaning, I think she still had a little bit of faith of like, I can do this. I can like sell it. Like she has the fire in her belly. And then when that hit her and she got the real truth, she did owe it to Ernie. And I think she knew that. I think she could have done. He was off his rocker. I get it. I would be a little afraid of Ernie because it is so unlike him to hear him yell like that, that I may not have fought any harder with him to get it through his head of you don't understand. And maybe she'll find a way to go about it to really break it to him, which I hope she does. But that's kind of why now I think Crystal rises to the top to have to take them all down. And I think we realize that when we realize she's going to join Murta's Minute. Maybe Murta's Minute will get a second chance at life, too.
See, and that's perfect, because that's what I want to go into next, is Murta. And I was so happy that they brought her back, because I think that she is just completely awesome. But now she's fired from her job because of her drug addiction. Sucks. And she's just kind of, like, totally strung out. But she will hopefully cover Crystal's predicament, all of the stuff that's going on, and really unearth this totally juicy story that could save her life. Funny enough that it still involves fam, but it could save Murta's life.
Yeah, and Crystal's in giving her a second chance to like take them all down. Because once you get behind media and the world is behind you, it's really hard for fam to then come and find you because you went to the media first. It's not as though like they took everything away from you and you're like the novelist who's now going to the media and being like, fam doesn't work. Murta saw Crystal in a very powerful position with fam, meaning now her story is going to have a little bit more depth to it. And I think Crystal definitely has lost a lot. I mean, her husband to an alligator, but still, she's in Murta's mind at the top of a pyramid scheme right now. But I think Crystal, in relaying the truth, it's going to affect so many people. I think it'll just blow her up because she hasn't wanted to make these little stories. She's like, do you think I wanted to be doing this news? This is why I'm a drug addict. And that's really sad that she, you know, she's miserable in her job. And I think this story will give her a chance to be more like 60 Minutes. I hope Murta's Minute joins 60 Minutes and then she's big. And it's all because of fam by bringing them down.
Mm-hmm. Fam in a different light. Oh, snap.
Ooh.
See, I think that's awesome. I think it's going to be great. With all that said, I know we did like a quick breakdown of everything that I thought was crucial to these two episodes, but I really want to go into our special segment.
Ooh.
Our Florida schemes. Tara, take it away.
Florida scheming. Have you or a loved one ever lost somebody to a pyramid scheme? Well, we are here to help you by showing you an Amway tape. Yeah, and hopefully you'll just realize, I'm glad I am not involved, and if you're thinking about getting involved, maybe get out. Why don't we roll the tape?
has ever done. Success is a progressive realization of a worthwhile dream. It starts with a dream. You gotta have a dream.
Hold on, it keeps going, guys. There's some applause, but I just want you to listen to the first 20 seconds of his metaphorical story.
Guy that was dating a girl back when he was about 16 years old. And when he dated girls, he always liked to take them out first class in accordance with his income. And he had a girl he was dating, but she turned to him and said, "My folks would never allow me to marry you. You're nothing but a spendthrift and you'll have nothing ever." And I was that guy. I was that guy. I don't know where that girl is, but I know where this guy is.
Oh, God, that's all he has to say. It's just, I don't know where that girl is, but I was that guy, and now I'm not that guy, and I'm on this stage telling you success equals dreams, and you gotta have dreams. And I just think that is so Art Obie in this, and they wrote, this is real, you guys. And I'm not saying that's a bad story. I'm just saying that that is a story of him trying to convince people of, like, I was over here, but now I'm, like, on this stage, and my life is totally different now. And I get, the video is 40 minutes. You just listen to 20 seconds. I am truly engaged and enthralled in it, just because I know that there are hundreds of people there going, like, dreams. And it's crazy. Like, it's, people are sold.
That's why I'm watching it like this, because it's crazy.
It's enthralling, you guys. I, you know, if you guys are part of a multi-level marketing pyramid scheme, you know, I wish they had a hotline. I would start one. I'd say, listen, it's called 1-800-MLM-HELP. Which is a way to get out. And actually, that fits all the numbers. MLM, 3, and then help is 4. Wow, this should become a thing.
Dilly dilly.
Yes. This, you can look them up. Real Amway tapes are actually based off, I mean, those fam tapes sound so similar to these actual real tapes, and it drives me wild.
It's too close to Obie. It's too close to Obie the way that they did. I really commend them. And remember the last time that we were in here, I said that they were actually they first were wanting to make a show about a cult. And watching Obie, now that we know more of Obie's story, it's seriously like a cult.
100%.
100%.
Listening to 40 more minutes of that tape and that guy's crazy speech. Ooh, you're in deep.
It's insane. It's insane. So with that in your mind, sorry, are we creeping you guys out?
I hope so.
I hope so, too. You need to be aware. Okay. Uh-huh. I want to go into the news, which is completely unrelated, okay, to what's going on. It's actually about Kirsten Dunst. And she called out an ignorant tweet by news agency Reuters, which described the actress best known for her role as Spider-Man's girlfriend. Okay. They didn't even give her, like, name her. This controversial post, which has since been deleted, included video footage of Dunst's recent Hollywood Walk of Fame ceremony, which happened, I think, in August. And she basically just fired back, and so did fans, calling out media outlets for its sexist interpretation of her 30-year career on screen, only to be known as Spider-Man's girlfriend, which really sucks. And she even said, well, you know, I don't really look at Twitter and stuff, so I'm not really a social media girl, but I was looking for the show and everything, and it felt like, you know, I read it too, and it was like, yeah, that's pretty shitty.
Yeah.
So she was proud of her fans, and everyone rallied around her and supported her. It was a very ignorant tweet, and it was probably done very carelessly by a man.
Yeah, I would agree.
So she obviously, you know, she did a great job in Spider-Man, but she has been acting since she was like 12. You know, she was in an Interview with a Vampire. You know, her list of movies is so extensive for them to pick Spider-Man. Not that it's not a great movie. It is.
Bring It On, Drop Dead Gorgeous. If you ever seen her in Fargo, That's How She Met Her Husband, Jesse Plemons, and then this show, Give Me a Break.
Come on. So, Kirsten Dunst, we know you are, like, vastly talented and have been in the game a long time. So, just... just
haters gonna hate, but you're gonna play and be amazing, right? As always.
Exactly. Another thing in the news is everybody is talking about Mel Rodriguez in episode 6, how fantastic he did and how he's really anchoring that episode as like the amazing actor. So quick shout out to Mel Rodriguez. You are amazing. We appreciate you and I think you're awesome.
Yeah, slaying the game. Thank you for your acting skills.
So you have grist mine eyes with your acting. So many people are loving it. Okay, well, I think that pretty much wraps up what we have to say here. Do you have any lasting remarks?
I got a few quotes here, just things that I wrote down. I'd rather work for a loser than be one, which is what one of Ernie's recruits said to him. And I'm like, go be a loser, right? Like, go be a loser and then be losing in fam. Like, even this guy can see it. Also, a line that stuck with me is Rhonda said to Crystal, you're going to get haunted and you deserve it, which I believe is true of all these top fam people, that they will be haunted and they will deserve it because fam is destroying lives. And that's all I got. I think I'm going to work in feckless tit, maybe into conversations with people I don't like, because that's what Cody's mom calls Cody. I'm sorry if that was harsh language, but that's a line I got from the show, and I'm going to try to work it in this week. That's all I got.
Can I be there? Can yes. you stage it where I can yes. be there and you say, because that would be hilarious. I'm going to add to your quote list because there's one that I forgot to say that was awesome. Obi says, who am I serving and what did he do with my soul? I sell people back their souls.
Yep.
Guys, this man's the devil. Mm-hmm. I don't care what anybody said. Nobody can tell me different. It's the devil. Not there for it. Not here for it. Well, on that note, with devil and good quotes, thank you so much for joining us. We had so much fun talking about becoming a god in Central Florida and our weird obsession with pyramid schemes. We're here next Sunday as well. We will have Jackie back. Where can we find you and stalk you on social media?
Let's do it. You guys can find me, especially on YouTube, under Tara Erickson. That's TaraErickson. I'm on Insta, Twitter, IMDb. Just look me up and come say hi.
And I am Tatiana Marisa. So excited to catch you guys next time on all platforms. All platforms. I wear platform shoes. I'm on there, too.
What?
We'll catch you guys next Sunday. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.